magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, January 7th, 2025. Listening friend, you're in for a real treat as we're going to launch into another series by Pastor Rick Warren. This time we're going to be seeking God for breakthroughs. Today we'll begin touching on how to pray in a crisis by listening to God, letting him speak before we speak and talk to him. We'll also learn about seeking God, focusing our attention on him as we learn the importance of our praying and God's timing, but we learn about his will and how he answers prayer by studying the scriptures and learning the word. Listening to God by reading his book, the Bible. It's going to be a great series, and you're in for a real treat. Pastor Rick Warren opens up with Daniel chapter 9, and we'll be covering the first few verses. Here's Daniel chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. It was the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, who was made king of the Babylonians by Cyrus. During the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, was studying the scriptures. I learned from the word of the Lord, as recorded by Jeremiah the prophet, that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. A very interesting scripture, but as Rick Warren divides it and teaches today and tomorrow, I trust there's going to be a great blessing in store for you. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church.
In chapter 9, we learn how to pray the kind of prayer that God answers. I mean, if you're going to pray, you may as well get a prayer that God's going to answer. You've prayed a lot of prayers that God did not answer. So how do you pray the kind of prayer that God answers? In this passage, we're actually going to look at how to pray in a crisis. Now, I hope you're not in a crisis right now, but you will be someday. So you need to take notes. Because someday you're going to, where are those notes that Rick told me how to pray in a crisis? And you're going to want to come back to this to do what God tells you to do. Let's get right into it. There's six steps we see modeled in Daniel's life and in the prayer in this chapter on how to pray a prayer that God answers. Number one, here's the first step. Let God speak to me before I speak to him. Let God speak to me before I speak to him. This is called the listening step. You listen to the voice of God. How do you do that? Well, I'm going to explain it. But there's a principle you need to understand first, and it's this. God always makes the first move in your life. You don't. God is always the initiator of everything in your life, and you are the responder. God never expects you to make the first move. He always makes the first move. The Bible says that we love him. We love God. Because he first loved us. God loved you a whole long time before you ever loved him. The Bible says that we serve God because God first served us. And he knew we had a problem, and he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us long before we even knew we had a problem. He served us before we served him. The Bible says we give to God because God first gave to us. Everything you have in your life is a gift of God. The air you breathe, your life, your mind, your brain, everything you've got is a gift from God. God will never ask you to do something he hasn't already done for you. God never asks you to do something that he goes, now, personally, I've never done this, but I'm expecting you to do it. God always initiates. We always respond. And that's even true with prayer. The reason we pray, the reason we talk to God is because God has first talked to us in this book. In this book, the Bible, written over 3,500 plus years, 66 different authors that God inspired to write these words down that he wanted written down, there are literally thousands and thousands of promises from God to you. And what we do in prayer is we claim the promises that he has said to us. And said, God, you said this, so I'm asking you to do this. And God, you said that, so I'm asking you to do that. So the Bible says that prayer actually starts not with talking, but with listening. You listen to God. Now, how do you listen to God? By reading this book. Or if you don't like to read, listening to the Bible on tape or MP3 or whatever. logically, you need to let God talk to you. Then you're going to know how to pray, what to pray, where to pray, when to pray, and all those things. Daniel did this. Now, as we start this chapter 9, Daniel's an old guy now. He's 85 years old. We started in the very first session on Daniel. He's 15 years old, the prisoner of war. He's now gone through multiple changes in his life, test after test after test after test. He keeps getting promoted higher in authority, higher in power. He's now served three different kings. And we know that the Babylonians defeated the Assyrians, and then the Persians defeated the Babylonians. And so now he's got a new boss. He survived every administration, and no matter what the government was going on around him, he keeps getting promoted. But he wants to go home before he dies. He's 85 years old. And he knows that God had said in the book of Jeremiah that you'll be in Babylon for 70 years, and then I'm going to bring my people back to Israel. And he knows time's up. But he also knows that the people, the Israelites, have not turned back to God. 70 years later, they're still as messed up as they were before. And he goes, we're not any closer to God than we were 70 years ago. And I'm afraid God's just going to leave us here in Babylon and not bring us back to Israel. So this is his crisis. And here's how it starts. Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. It was the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, who was made king of Babylon, the Babylonians, by Cyrus, who was a Persian. You know, Babylon is Iraq, Persia is Iran today. And he says, during the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, was studying the scriptures, and I learned from the word of the Lord, as recorded by Jeremiah the prophet, that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. It was destroyed, and he said, it won't be rebuilt until after 70 years. You guys get to go back home. Now, I want you to circle, if you're taking notes, circle the phrase, studying the scripture, and circle the phrase, learned from the word. Study the scriptures, learn from the word. You will never pray effectively until you study the scriptures and you learn from the word. Until you get into this book every single day. Now, the more you know this book, the Bible, the more prayers you're going to have answered. If you're ignorant of this book, you don't know how to pray. You don't know what to pray. You don't know when to pray. You don't know the promises that God has made to you. And so you got to read a little bit of this book every single day of your life so you can learn those promises that God has made to you. Let me show you this. Here's what Jesus said up here on the screen. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, if you stay connected to me and my words remain in your heart. What's he talking about? The Bible. He says, these words remain in your heart. He says, if you follow those two conditions, you may ask any request you want in prayer, and it will be given to you, Jesus Christ. Whoa, that's pretty much a blank check right there. You can ask whatever you want in prayer, and it'll be given to you. Now, he says, notice this verse. If I'm praying and I'm not getting an answer, the first thing I need to check is, am I meeting these two conditions? Am I staying connected to God? God, is there anything between me and you that's out of whack? Is there any fellowship broken? Is there something in my life that I know is wrong and you know it's wrong and you said for me to get right and I haven't got it right yet? That is a break in the connection with God. But he said, if you stay connected to me, you're in harmony with me. And he says, my words, this book is in your mind, it's in your heart. You can ask anything you want in prayer and it will be done. So if I'm not getting the answer, that's one of the two problems. That's one of the two conditions that need to be met. So Daniel is saying, I'm going to study the word. I'm going to have it in me. The more you fill your mind with this book, the more you memorize some like Bible verses, the more answers you're going to have in your life. Now, this is so important to your life that I want to help you. I want to help you develop the habit of you never go to bed any day of your life without have spending at least a little bit of time, even if it's a minute or 2 minutes, reading a little bit of the Bible, and then talking to God for a minute or two or whatever. Now, last week we saw that Daniel did this 3 times a day. He had the habit, and I said, do you think your life would be any different if you had a conversation with God 3 times a day your entire life, which he did for over 70 years? Well, no wonder he missed a lot of problems. No wonder he knew how to be wise. No wonder he gotten promoted. He's talking to God every day. I do this all the time. As I go through my day, I don't talk to God once a day. I talk to God all the time. And as I'm getting ready to go into meeting, I go, okay, God, I'm going to need your guidance in here. I don't know what you want to say to these people. I don't know what they want to say to me. I don't know what the problem is. Help me to know the right thing. I'm depending on you to give me the wisdom, the guidance, and the power to do what it is. And I go out of that meeting, I go to the next thing. And I the whole day, one of my prayers is often two words, what's next? What's next, Lord? What do you want to do? And I'm always seeking God, checking in with him. Now, I want to teach you this habit of having a little bit of daily reading the Bible and praying, talking to God, two or three times a day, at least three times a day, because it will revolutionize your life. Men, it'll make you a strong man. It'll make you more confident. It'll make you less fearful. Same thing, women, it'll make you a stronger woman. It'll make you more confident. It will make you less fearful. If you will develop a habit of multiple times a day, you have a conversation with God, you let him talk to you, and you talk to him, you will handle your stress better. It will improve every single area of your life. I guarantee it. All right? In chapter 1, Daniel is worried about the crisis in his life, and so he starts reading this book by Jeremiah. Now, here's the thing. Daniel and Jeremiah are contemporaries. They lived at the same time. When Babylon crushed Israel, Daniel's taken captive as prisoner of war to Babylon. Jeremiah is left behind in a defeated, broken city called Jerusalem. And in Jeremiah's book, God tells him, those guys are going to be there for 70 years. And Daniel reads this and he starts getting hope. You want to know what Daniel read? It's the next verse, Jeremiah chapter 29. When he said, I was studying the scripture, here's what he was studying. God says this to you, you will be kept in Babylon for 70 years, but then I'll keep my gracious promise to bring you back to your home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans for your disaster. My plans will give you hope and a future. And in those days, when you pray, I will listen. Now, if you've been around church for any length of time, you know that verse. In fact, we even got a song about it. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. God says, I have a plan for your life. It's a plan for your success. It's not a plan for your defeat. It's a good plan. It'll give you hope. It'll give you a future. God says this to you. We know that verse, but we often leave off the last phrase, which says, in those days when you pray, I will listen. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. God says this to you this weekend. I made you for a purpose. I have a plan for your life, but it's not automatic. You can miss it. You can miss my plan and purpose for your life. In fact, most people miss God's plan and purpose for their life. He said, there are two factors. I've promised to rescue you. I'm going to bring you back home. I'm going to do the things you need done in your life. But he says, there are two factors involved in you fulfilling your purpose in life. Write these down. God's timing and my praying. God's timing and my praying. And both of these have an important role in what God wants to do in your life. God's timing, when he's going to do it, and your praying when you ask him to do it. Both of these are extremely important. So let me explain what that verse just said in Jeremiah. God says this, I got a plan for your life. I didn't make you without a purpose. I created you for a purpose and plan, and my plan for you is good, but it has a timetable. And he says to these guys, specifically, he said, I'm not going to cut short my plan. You're going to be in Babylon for 70 years. He said, "But and I'm not going to cut it short, one day short. You're not coming home one day sooner. You're going to be there for 70 years. So that's my plan, and that's my intention, but don't worry, it's a good plan. But, he says, when the time is right, for me to fulfill your plan, you're all going to go back home, then you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to pray. And he says, and when you pray, I will listen. Now, I want you to notice this. This is a very important verse in the Bible. Here we see God's sovereignty. He's in control. And your responsibility, you got something to do. God determines the timing of his plan and purpose for your life. But when the timing is right, you're still going to have to pray because he's not going to do it until you ask. He's not going to force his plan on you ever. You have to ask. Notice this verse on the screen, James chapter 4, verse 2. You do not have what you need because you do not ask God for it. Oh, wait, so you're telling me that God has some things he wants to do in my life that are cool and good and great, but they're not going to happen unless I ask for it. That's exactly what I'm telling you. God has timing, but you have praying. And some things have not happened in your life because you've never asked God for them. You've never asked God to do them in your life. He says, I intend to do it when I'm ready. That's timing. But you got to pray for it to happen. You have not because you ask not. Now, this leaves a little quandary in your life. You've gone through this before. How do I know when I'm waiting on God, and how do I know when God's waiting on me? It's a good question, okay? It's like, you know, I really have this big dream for my life, and I really think this is what God wants me to do with my life, but I don't know, it hadn't happened yet, so am I waiting on God, or is God waiting on me? Well, this explains it right here. What it means is this. If I've asked for God to do something really great in my life, and I've prayed about it, and I've asked, and there's nothing between me and God. As far as I know, I'm doing what he wants me to do. There's no big sin that's over here in this corner that I'm going, yeah, I know God wants me to do this, but I haven't done it. And if I've asked God, and like Jesus said, I'm connected to God, we're all copacetic, we're in harmony, me with God, and I'm in the Bible, I'm reading the Bible every day, his word's in me. If I pray and I ask, and that's all true, and I haven't had the answer yet, then I'm waiting on God. It has all to do with his timing. I'm just waiting for God. God says, I'll do it, but I'm just going to do it in my timing. And I just need to be patient. On the other hand, if I have something really great that I would like for God to do in my life, and I've always wanted God to do it, but I've never asked God to do it, never asked for God's help, never asked for God's guidance in my dream, then God's waiting on you. If you haven't prayed about it, God is waiting on you. You have not because you ask not. So let me just start with this first point by asking a very personal question. What do you really want in life? What do you really, really want in life? But you've never asked God for it. Did you know that the Bible says you can ask God for anything? You can ask God for anything. First step, listen to God. I read a little bit of his word. I let God speak to me, then I talk to him. Now here's step two. Step two is focus my attention on God. This is the second step in the kind of prayer that God gets answered. So, focus my attention on God. And in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, it says this. So, I turned my face to the Lord, seeking him. All right, circle the phrase, turned my face. I turned my face to the Lord, seeking him. Husbands, let me talk to you for just a minute. I'm going to give you a marriage tip that will pay great dividends in your life, the rest of your life. You're listening to a guy who's been married 41 years. Here's a big tip for every husband. I have noticed, and I've developed this habit, that whenever Kay talks to me, I turn my face toward her. Physically. Whenever she starts talking, I literally turn my face toward her. And you know what I've learned? She likes it. In fact, she loves it. Because when you turn your face to somebody, it says, you have my undivided attention. I'm totally focused on you. You like this. Yeah, all the wives are clapping right now. Okay, great, great. Yeah, okay. Everybody likes this. When you talk, you want people to turn their focus to you. Pity the poor substitute teacher who stands up in class and she's trying to teach and nobody's looking at her. And it's like in the old Peanuts cartoons, wah, 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 wah. And she's just blathering on. Nobody's tuned in. Nobody's listening. Turning your face shows attention. When my kids were little, they used to grab me by the face and say, look at me, Daddy. You're not paying attention. Look at me, Daddy. They wanted eye-to-eye contact. That is the highest gift you give anybody is your attention. It's more important than chocolate, roses, or money. Giving your kids, your wife, your attention is the highest gift because your attention is your life. Now, did you know that you can actually do this with God? You can turn your face to God in prayer. How? Physically. Just look up. God, I'm here. I'm ready to talk. I'm checking in for my 3-times-a-day conversation. You can go outside and look up at the heavens. You can stare up at you just look up. There's nothing in the Bible says you have to close your eyes to pray. Nothing in the Bible says you have to bow your head to pray. That's one of the ways to pray. It's a good way. But many times in the Bible, people didn't close their eyes. They actually looked up and they talked aloud. I like to pray aloud to God. When I close my eyes and think, I go to sleep. I don't pray with my eyes closed, and I don't pray in my mind. When I'm praying aloud, and I'm driving the car, or I'm looking up, or whatever. You could get in your lazy boy chair and lean back, look up. God, I'm turning my face to you. Okay? Look straight. But it's a physical reminder that I'm refocusing my attention. Okay, this is what Daniel did. He physically, notice verse 3 in the New American Standard Version, it says this, "So I gave my attention to the Lord to seek him by prayer." Circle the word seek. This is the second step of prayer. The first is listening. The second step of prayer is seeking. And now we're going to talk a lot about this. I'm going to cheat you. I'm going to train you how to do this. You're going to get really good at seeking God. And during the 34 days of seeking God, I'm going to teach you about this, so I'm not going to cover it right now. But let me just show you some of the benefits. If you'll learn how to do this, it'll change your life. Your whole life's just going to get a whole lot better. Let me just show you 3 or 4 or 5 promises. How about this one up here on the screen? Amos 5:4. God says this, "Seek me and you will live." In other words, you're not going to just exist. You're going to really live. You're not living life to the fullest. Some of you are just existing. He says, "Seek me and you will live." You're going to learn how to really live. Proverbs 8:17. God says this, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me will" what? "Find me." Find me. You say, I can't find God. You're not seeking. You got to seek in the right way. "Those who seek me will find me." Let me show you another one. Jeremiah 29:13 says this. God says, "You will find me when you seek me" what? "With all your heart." That's serious. That's emotional seeking. We'll talk about that in a minute. You're going to find me when you really want to know me. Not like, oh yeah, I kind of like to know God in my spare time between the football game and work, maybe. No, when you seek me with all your heart, then you're going to know me. Now, Hebrews 11:6 says this, "God rewards those who earnestly seek him." Would you like God to reward your business? Seek him. Would you like God to reward your finances? Seek him. Would you like God to reward your marriage? Seek him. Would you guys like God to reward your children? Would you like God to reward your relationships, your boyfriend, your girlfriend? Would you like God to reward your future? Wherever you seek God, God is going to reward. Wherever you don't seek God, God says, you're on your own. You're on your own. Let me show you another verse.
Well, that another verse, along with maybe recapping the ones he just shared, will return tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, as I'm so excited about this series of messages by Pastor Rick Warren about seeking God for a breakthrough. Today we learned how to pray in a crisis, letting God speak to us before we speak to him, so we practice our listening, and we also focus our attention on God. We seek him. We study the scriptures and learn the word. We listen to God as we read his book. The two important factors, you're praying to God and God's timing. Oh, listening friends, we're in for a real treat with this series, as we're going to learn the kind of prayers God answers. Now on Wednesday, we'll probably be able to cover how to express your desires with emotions, as we'll continue looking at Daniel chapter 9. We'll learn about demonstrating the seriousness of your prayers by fasting. And we might be able to cover, if not tomorrow, next Tuesday and Wednesday, on thanking God for his love and his promises to us, and to humbly confess our sins. This chapter 9 of Daniel is an important one, and it's going to help us seek God for breakthroughs. I think this is a perfect series to start off a new year, and I trust on the coming Tuesdays and Wednesdays you'll be blessed. Now, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast or want to listen to it again, or right-click on it, paste it into an email, and send it to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org. Go to the Mark and Friends tab and click on 2025, and you can access the program right there. Happy New Year, everyone. I guess we can say it for another week or so. I hope your 2025 will be your best year ever as you draw near to God and he draws near to you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media, God bless you, and have a great day and night.